On a journey from Jerusalem, returning to their home, Joseph and his family traveled all day long. They must have walked for many miles before they realized Jesus was not with them. Mary sadly cried, "Where is Jesus? Did we leave him far behind? Did we take for granted he was here, walking with us all the time? Where is Jesus? To find him once again, we must remember the place where we left him. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus?
I pray to God to lead my way, that his will for me be known. All he asks is that I wait for him. Still I stepped out on my own. Without him here to guide my steps, I failed him many times. I only have myself to blame. I bowed my head and cried, where is Jesus? Did I leave him far behind? Did I take for granted he was here, walking with me all the time? Where is Jesus? To find him once again, I must return to the place where I left him. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus?
You've made some bad decisions with a selfish thought in mind. You have the best intentions for the goals you set in life. Your relationship with God's secure, but your fellowship is gone. To choose to walk with him again, you don't have to walk alone. Where is Jesus? Did you leave him far behind? Did you take for granted he was here, walking with you all the time? Where is Jesus? To find him once again, you must return to the place where you left him. Where is Jesus? 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 Where is Jesus?
Hold on.
Hello, testing.
I think it was on mute. There you go. They need to have how to work a microphone for dummies.
Amen. All right. Don't worry, I was calling myself a dummy, okay? So don't be offended.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 18. I would invite you to stand with me as we read the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter number 18. I heard a story about this preacher who began to preach, Brother Shane, through the Bible. And he started in the book of Genesis, preached all the way through the book of Genesis, chapter by chapter in one service, and went to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, all the way up Isaiah. Got to Jeremiah, and he said, "What shall I do with Jeremiah?" Somebody got up, walked out the back door. He said, "You can have my seat. I'm going home." Amen. And so we're not going to do that. We're not preaching through all the book, all that. But we are going to get in and look at some truths from the Word of God this morning. Jeremiah chapter 18. Starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the hand of the potter's hand, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." I'm going to preach to you this morning, God the Potter. God the Potter. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for the time to get into your word. Lord, I stand with the arm of the flesh will fail me. I need your help and I need your touch this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to meet with us in a special way. Do what we cannot do. Lord, we are nothing without you. We desire your presence here this morning. Lord, we claim your promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. Lord, we desire you to be here today. We claim the blood of Christ against Satan and the devils of hell. Would you bind them, get them out of this place? They're not welcome here. And Holy Spirit of God, would you move up and down the aisles today? Speak to hearts. Lord, use me in spite of myself. Lord, help me to say only what you want me to say. And help me to refrain from saying anything that would bring dishonor to you. Lord, I pray that you'll convict the hearts of those that may not be saved here today. Lord, I pray that you'll put in them that yearning, that desire to trust you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you'll draw them to yourself and that you'll change their life here this morning. God, those that are saved, I pray that you'll help us to draw closer to you. And Lord, as we strive for this theme of holiness this year, Lord, may we understand who you really are and how much you love us. Lord, we love you and thank you for all your many blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As I was reading through this, I want to read through these verses again, but it's something that really intrigued me as I was going down through and studying some things about the potter. God's been leading me to preach about who God is. Last week we preached God, the only potentate. He's higher than any celestial monarch. We preached about that and that He does a lot for us. But when it's said in chapter 18, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my word." See, now that's a very important statement. This is an introduction. I'm just building up to the message here. God told him, there's a place where I have a message for you. He said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And he said, and I will cause thee to hear my words. You know, that was very important, Brother Doug. That was a very important statement, because had Jeremiah just said, well, Lord, why don't you just tell me here? God said, no, there's a place I want you to go so that you can hear the word in which I have for you. See, you say, preacher, what's important about that? See, the Bible says to go to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because He has a word for you. God has a message for you to hear. Oftentimes we think, well, I can serve the Lord at home. And you're right, you can. People say, I can worship the Lord at home. You're right, you can. But you cannot worship the Lord the way God intends you to worship Him and live in disobedience to Him. You can't do it. He said this to Jeremiah, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. As I was thinking about that, my mind went to the Elijah when he was down at the brook Cherith, and there was a famine in the land and a drought that was coming across. And he said, I want you to go down to the brook Cherith. He said, because I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. See, had Elijah disobeyed God at that point in time, he would not have been fed, he would not have been sustained, and he would have died like many others died. But there was some obedience that took place in this passage of Scripture in Jeremiah. He said this, then I went down to the potter's house. You see, there was a command and then there was an obedience. There was a command that God gave and then there was obedience by the listener, by the hearer. See, that's why the Bible says not just to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. We're supposed to hear the truth of the Bible and then obey the truth of the Bible. That's all free, but I felt we needed to know it, okay? Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. He said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. I began to think about that. Here now, Jeremiah is there, and he's watching this potter shaping some clay on the wheel. He had that wheel, and it's spinning, and he's doing some things and forming it, and it said, in the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And I got to thinking about this outline and this story, and my mind went back to some things about God being the potter. And we saw in verse 6, he said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hands. And we're going to talk about God, the potter, this morning. We're going to talk about how wonderful he is and some things about the potter. I want you to see firstly about God the potter is I want you to take your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Those of you that don't know where Genesis is, it's the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter number 2. We know that God is the creator of all. We would agree that, right? Amen. Why? Because the Bible says so. Amen. God created everything. God spoke everything into existence that we know of. He spoke the heavens, the earth, the firmament, the waters, the beasts of the field. All of that stuff, God spoke into existence. But there's something special about how God created you. And how God created me. There's something different, Brother Jason, about all of the creation and man. And I want you to see that in Genesis 2 and verse number 7. It says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So wait a second. God formed man out of what? Dust. We just saw in Jeremiah that there was a work being done on the wheel. This Jeremiah comes down to the potter's house and he said, and lo, the potter was doing a work on the wheel. God, who spoke everything into existence, Brother Doug, could have just said, let there be man, and man would have been here. But God spoke everything into existence, and then the potter reaches down, Brother Josh, and grabs some dirt and begins a work. Begins to form a vessel. And I want you to see firstly about the potter. The potter formed man in his image from dust. We were made in the image and likeness of God. Now, what's significant about that is God is forming us, and He was doing something, doing a work, and He was forming Adam out of the dust of the ground. I can only imagine how wonderful that was. Adam, a perfect man, living as the only human right now, and God formed him, Brother Shane, with His own hands. Made him in the image of God. It said He formed man in His image, in the likeness of God. You say, how are we made in the likeness of God? There's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We were made in the image of God. God made us with body, soul, and spirit. There's a trichotomy there in our lives. body, soul, and spirit. We were created in His image. In the image of God created He Him. He said, male and female created He them. All of that, He took the dust and He began a work. He said, I'm going to create man for my pleasure so that I can enjoy him and fellowship with him, and I can have time just to walk in the garden and talk with him. And what a joy it'll be to fellowship with this vessel that I made. I can just understand there's a lot of people who are potters, and they begin to form things. And man, sometimes you'll see at an antique shop, or you'll see something, Brother Shane, somebody has done some delicate work on this pot, and you'll look at it and say, man, how much does that thing cost? And they say it's thousands of dollars, and you're like, man, kids don't touch anything. You know why? Because there was some work that went into it, and somebody took some time with their hands, and they formed this vessel. Man, it's a treasure to them. And it cost something for them. It cost some work and effort. And I want you to know, when God created man, He placed effort into man. He could have just spoke us into existence. But He reached down and He grabbed some dirt and He began to form man in His likeness, in His image. And as I was reading in Jeremiah 18, my mind went back to that time in Genesis 2 when God began to work by forming dust. And in Jeremiah, it said this, in verse number 2 and 3, it says, arise, go down to the potter's house, and I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And then my mind goes to verse 4, it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hand. And this man that God formed, that God took the time, Brother Miller, to reach down and take the dust and form it in to His image. And that He formed man to have a relationship and desire to be with Him and desire to fellowship with Him. It comes back to the place like verse 4 where Eve was then created, because He said, it's not good for man to be alone, so I'll make him an helpmeet. And Eve was created, and then Satan comes as a serpent, disguised as a serpent, and he begins to trick Eve and deceive her into disobeying God. And then Adam takes of the fruit. And that vessel that God created in His image was marred. The hand of the potter made it. And it was perfect. But now that vessel was marred by sin. The Bible said, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You understand that marred vessel had an effect on everyone else. That marred vessel had an effect on everybody else in the future. God had created it perfect. It was a perfect vessel. But it got marred by sin. It got damaged. It wasn't the way that God had created it to be. This one was marred. It's not exactly the way that it should be. And as we go through our life and understand this, every one of us need to understand that we are a marred vessel. We're unusable by sin. You say, why can't we be used? Because we're dirty, we're unclean. And Brother Jason even said something to me about this last night. I was talking to him about a few things. And if every one of us were to go to the kitchen and we were to begin to eat some food, none of us would want to go and grab a dirty bowl. None of us would want to go or grab a dirty spoon and begin to eat some cereal or eat some other food. None of us would want to grab anything dirty and begin to eat with it. Why? Because it's a dirty vessel. It's something that's unusable in our eyes. It's something that we should not use. Why? Because there's some things that could affect us. And this vessel that's marred, understand, affected everybody else. And sin came because of Adam. But every one of us are born sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're marred vessels. We're not the way that the potter had created us to be. We're not the way that he originally intended. He wanted to fellowship with them. And we read later on that they hide themselves and they sew fig leaves together, trying to cover their sin their way. And there's a lot of people that are trying to do that in and of themselves. They're trying to work their way to heaven, or they're trying to give enough in the offering plate, or maybe say enough prayers, or do what they can do. And all that is sowing spiritual fig leaves together and trying to cover your sin, but it doesn't pay the price that's needed to be that's needed to be paid. The Bible says because of sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm glad that there's a way that the potter doesn't just throw the clay away. I'm glad that he continues to shape it. He continues to mold it. And even though it's marred in the potter's hand, look back to Jeremiah 18 and see what he says. It says, and the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he began. And so he made it again. Another vessel. And seemed good to the potter to make it. Listen, God the potter, He formed man in His image from dust. But God the potter fixed man of his imperfection by death. By death. You say, what are you talking about? Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. We already heard that we're all sinners. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to look at Romans chapter 5. And look at verse number 8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm glad there was some death here, because the Bible said the wages of sin is death. That means you and I, because we were a marred vessel, deserved death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, as Revelation speaks about, that second death, that lake of fire that you'll spend eternity in. That's what sin deserved. But verse 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You understand, this vessel that the potter made in His image from dust became a marred vessel because of sin. But God, through the death of His Son, fixed our imperfections because of death. He said, listen, something had to take place in the potter's hand, in order for that marred vessel to become a vessel that can be used again for me. And so the potter begins to make a plan and say, well, how can I fix this vessel? How can I do this? And Jesus says, I'll let you add part of me to that. And so He dies for us and He sheds His blood for us, and God applies that to our account, and He begins to make a new vessel when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. See, the only reason that that can take place, the only reason that marred vessel can become a new vessel, a new creature in Christ Jesus, is by coming through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that that marred vessel could come to God was through Christ. He made a way, an atonement for you and I. He took our place, that death that we deserved. And so we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I get excited about that because not only was I reconciled because of His death, now I can live in Christ. I can live in Christ. This potter who made man from in His image from dust, then fixes man's imperfections by His death. You understand, you and I are imperfect. We're imperfect people. We're sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of what's expected. But because of the death of Jesus Christ, we can then have life everlasting. Because He died and He was buried and He rose again, we can be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's some people who say, preacher, you don't understand what all I've done in my life. You don't understand how wicked I've been. You don't understand, how could God ever love me? Listen, God loved the world. All of them. And it's not a past tense kind of love. It said, for God so loved the world. I had somebody tell me that, Brother Doug, one day. Well, that was, God did love the world. He doesn't love them anymore. And I thought, wait a second. Hold on. Time out. His love has no end. His love is forever. He said His love is settled for eternity. Why? Because He loved us so much that God committed His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Understand, His love is never ending. And it doesn't matter where you've been in life. It doesn't matter how marred of a vessel you have been. Through Jesus Christ and through His love and His strength, when you're in the potter's hand, you can be made different and changed, a new creature in Christ Jesus. He fixed man of his imperfection by death. Look at Colossians 1:21, if you would please. Verse 20 and 21, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be the things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Yet now hath He reconciled. You know what that reconciliation is? It's taking a marred vessel and making them new and usable again. Making them usable again. Look at Hebrews 9:24. Hebrews chapter number 9. Look what the Bible says. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. For who? For us. This marred vessel, He came to the presence of God through us. I want you to understand something. Whose image were we created in? God's image. Was Jesus perfect? Two people say yes. Who believes Jesus was perfect? Guess what happened to the perfect God-man? That marred vessel that we were because of sin, Brother Miller, He took His perfection and He became marred for us so that we could be clothed in His righteousness. And so when God looked down and He saw us, no more did He see a marred vessel. Because God, in the flesh, Jesus, came to this earth and said, I'm going to become marred so that they can be made whole. What a joy that is, that the potter who made man in His image because of, from dust, then fixes man's imperfections by His death. What an exciting thing that is. I'm able to go to the throne of God. Why? Because Christ, on my behalf, became marred in the presence of God. Look at Revelation 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and that prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. The blood of Christ took that marred vessel and made a new creature. Made a new usable vessel. He said, go down to the potter's house. I have a word for you there. So I went to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Listen, not only does the potter, did he form man in his image from dust, but he fixed man of his imperfections by his death. The key to that is, it's already been taken care of. But in your mind and mine. There's nothing you and I can do to fix our own imperfections. God has to fix those. But you have to willingly receive His gift. You have to willingly allow Him to fix that. He doesn't force Himself on you. But lastly, let me explain this to you about the potter. God the potter. He fashions man into His instrument by His design. You understand, God has a plan for every person in this room. Some of the plan is different than others. God has a same plan for all of us, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you're saved, He wants you to be a soul winner. He wants you to read your Bible. He wants you to come to church. He wants you to do all of those things. He wants you to go to His Word because He has a message for you. You need to go there. People say all the time, I don't hear God speak. I don't understand it. I say, have you read your Bible? No. Well, you're not going to hear the Word of the Lord if you don't go to the Word of God. You've got to do that. You're not going to hear the Word of the Lord if you miss out on church. You're not going to hear that. If you don't go to Sunday school and you don't allow God the opportunity to speak to your heart. I hear people say all the time, well, I don't have to go to Sunday school. I'm educated in church. Listen, all of us that need Sunday school, we all need morning service. We all need Sunday night service. We all need Wednesday night service. We all need Monday night services and Tuesday night services and Thursday night services and Friday night services and Saturday night services. Why? Because when we're in our own hands, we're marred and we need the potter to fix us. We need the potter to fix us. But He fashions us, Brother Doug, by His design. It said this potter who was doing a work on the wheel, so the marred vessel, it said, but He made it again. He fashioned it into what He seemed was good. Not what somebody else, Jeremiah could have said, hey, you're messing up on that. But Jeremiah knew, I'm not the potter. He's the potter. And understand, God wants to make you into something that you can't even imagine. God wants to use you in ways that you can't even imagine. If you go through the Bible and you begin to look at the people that God used in a mighty way, the only reason that they ever did anything for God is they were willing to let the hands of the potter form them into whatever it is that He wanted them to be. You think about Peter and John coming at that gate called Beautiful. And when they come in and they've done a work and the man gets up and he believes in Christ. And we heard this on Wednesday night preached and they believed and he was the strength came back to his ankles and all this again. He comes inside and they said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. How can they do this? And they said, listen, you're looking at us. It has nothing to do with us. It's all about the potter who's making us into what He wants us to be. It's about Him using us in a way that only He can use us. You understand, without God, we can do nothing. Apart from Him, we are nothing. And the potter makes us into a usable vessel if you allow Him to do it. You understand, God could force you and make you be a robot when you get saved. Make you to do the 1, 2, 3, just step like He wants you to do it. But you know what? He wants you to be a unique vessel. Different. Brother Miller, you and I are different. Every one of us, if we were to go around the room, we are different and unique in our own way. Why? Because God created us differently. He shapes us and molds us differently. There's some that have more musical abilities than others. I hear people play the piano and sometimes I'm thinking, man, I wish I could do that. I thought, God, are You sure that I'm supposed to be a pastor in North Carolina? Because all these North Carolina preachers can play the piano and sing. I'm thinking, I hear them all get up there, man. They play the piano and they sing and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, only kind of piano I can play is when I hear it on a CD and push play. You know, or I hear somebody else do it. Piano's going all the time at my house. My wife's playing, my daughters are playing, all that stuff. But you know what? God didn't make me like that. God has a specific plan for me. God has something different. My personality is different than my wife's personality. I'm a very outgoing type person. She's okay by herself. It's different. Why does God do that? Why does He use us in unique ways? Because you know what, Brother Doug? There's only people that you can reach that I can't reach. There's people that will draw to your personality, not my personality. And God molds those vessels into images by His own design, the way He desires you to be. Quit saying, well, I don't know how, they don't like me because of who I am, and they don't like me because of this, and they don't like me. The important thing is, friend, are you being what God has designed you to be? If He is pleased with you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. God is the one that we need to please. The potter shapes us and molds us into what He wants us to be. Let me ask you this. Are you allowing Him to shape you? Are you allowing Him to mold you and fashion you into His vessel that can be used? Look at Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Look at verse 8. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, Thou art our potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. We all are the work of Thy hand. There's some people in this room today, Brother Shane, that I believe are not reaching their potential for God, because they're too busy trying to tell God how to make them into the vessel that they want to be, rather than letting God make them into the vessel that He wants them to be. You understand this. Your opinion doesn't matter. Right. Jeremiah could have come into that potter and said, hey, that looks ugly. You need to change that. But he said, it was marred at the hand of the potter, but the potter made it new as he saw that it was good. Understand, God's got a specific plan for everybody in this room. Oh yeah, God's got a common plan for all of us, but there's something specific. Maybe God wants you to be a missionary. Maybe God wants you to work on a bus route. Maybe God wants you to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe God wants you to go to the nursing home ministry. Maybe God wants you to get involved in Reformers Unanimous. Maybe God wants you to reach out to this group or that group or go here or go there. Whatever God's plan is for your life, you need to be willing to let the potter fashion you into the instrument that He can use by His design, not yours. See, without Him, we'd be lost, that marred vessel. We'd be doomed and destined for hell. But He made a way to make us new. And Jesus took our place, that death. We're reconciled to God by the death of His Son. He begins to shape us and mold us then into what He wants us to be. My kids sing a song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Listen, we're a work in progress. But we ought not to fight the hands of the potter. There's a song, and I'm not a good singer by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a song that's been going through my mind all week. It says, He is the potter, I am the clay, molded in His image, He wants me to stay. But when I stumble and fall, and my vessel breaks, He just picks up the pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Over and over, He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor I am today. All because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Empty and broken, I came back to Him. A vessel unworthy, scarred by sin. But He did not despair. He started over again. And I bless the day He didn't throw the clay away. You understand? He doesn't throw you away. He doesn't throw you away. He molds you and makes you into what He wants you to be. But oftentimes, we're the ones that are fighting against Him. The clay isn't allowing the potter to do it. And understand this, you can't become a vessel used without the potter making you usable. There's some of us that just need to quit fighting against God. Quit trying to put your input in on what you think God ought to do with your life. Your life doesn't belong to you, child of God. You understand that? You're bought with a price. So therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to the potter. You're the clay. He molds you into whatever kind of vessel He wants you to be. Just be used the way He intended you to be used. Some of you might be flower pots. You say, what are you talking about? Having life just blooming from you. Some of you might be water pots to help those flourish. Some of you can be dishes to help feed people. You say, what are you talking about? He's got different designs, different plans for different people. But you got to let Him mold you. But you know what? He can't begin to fix you being marred until you say, God, I'm willing to accept it. He's already paved the way, and He wants to make you new. God the potter, form man in His image from dust, fix man of his imperfections by His death, and He fashioned man into His instrument by His design. Listen, are you letting the potter shape you into what He wants to use you for? If you're here and you're not saved, listen, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. This may be the last day you ever see on earth. And if you open your or close your eyes in death today and open them up into eternity, there's only going to be one of two places that you're going to be. Either heaven or hell. And the only way you go to heaven is to come by Jesus Christ. That's you're reconciled to God by the death of His Son. You got to come through Jesus. But if you are saved, what's the vessel that God's making you in? Quit fighting it and just submit to Him. Head bowed, eyes.